That's Matthew West on NBL in a song called Forgiveness, which is an appropriate lead-in to the conversation we're going to have with Dr. Joan Samuels-Dennis, author of a book called 490, Forgive and Live Fearlessly. I love the title. And Joan, welcome to NBL. How are you today?
I am excellent, and thank you so much for having me, Neil.
Yeah, I think you may be aware of this, but, you know, Wednesdays, we call it Worship Wednesday, and the goal is to get vertical, meaning to take our eyes off our stuff, off our circumstances, and focus on Jesus. And this is going to be interesting because here we have the opportunity to get our eyes off the people that we may be withholding forgiveness from or harboring bitterness towards, and get our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who wants us, I believe, to be forgiving people and to walk in forgiveness. I want you to maybe just comment about that, if you don't mind, in the sense that forgiveness is a real part of our experience, beginning with his forgiveness towards us and as believers, the kind of forgiveness we can extend to others. But let me let you elaborate a bit, because this obviously has been a major issue that you decided to even write a book about.
Yes. Yeah, I like to say I had so much forgiveness to do, I had to write a book about it, right?
Yeah.
But I love that imagery that you have just presented, and the idea that, you know, we can stretch our hands out towards others and really grab hold of their hands because we're in a place of unforgiveness. And what the forgiveness process and journey will do is allow you to actually release their hand and then actually reach up and grab hold of the hand of God. So I want everyone who's listening to kind of think about forgiveness as that thing that we absolutely must do in order to grow and mature spiritually and then completely have our eyes turned towards God.
I think maybe one of the misunderstandings people have about forgiveness is that, like, forgiveness, they might think, well, if I forgive, that means that what they did to me doesn't matter. And I have seen enough of what you've done to understand that what they did matters. And I don't think you're asking anybody who's going to forgive another person to overlook the offense or pretend it didn't happen. So how do you do that? Is that even possible to be able to acknowledge that an offense occurred and yet at the same time forgive?
Well, I think, you know, we have this way of getting very emotional about the things that have happened to us so that we don't actually see that we're moving through a spiritual journey. If we go to the book of James, for example, and James began to talk about the trials, he sets a picture, one that goes upward and one that goes downward. And what he says is this: rejoice, because the trials are about our spiritual maturation. So each trial that you're experiencing is actually elevating us. And if you look really carefully at the text, it's elevating us in these three steps. The first step is kind of like we're walking through the wilderness with the Israelites, and we're going to be fleshy. We're going to want to just survive. We're going to want our food provided for. We're going to want all of these material things done. We have to overcome that trial. Mm-hmm. The next thing is we're going to have to overcome the mind. We're going to have to overcome things like our soulish ways of thinking, our soulish intellect, and our soulish will. The next and the highest level is at a spiritual level, and that is where we begin to think about things like obedience and complete alignment with God's will. It's about giving up our will and totally coming into that place where we receive wisdom, wisdom that aligns with that God-like perspective. So the moments that we're wounded are actually a period of time when we can see it as a trial or we can see it as a test. One of the things that's made clear is that, or let me say it's a test and a trial, but it's not a temptation. God does not tempt us, but Satan does. So we can go upward where we experience this as a test and a trial to elevate and spiritually mature, mm-hmm. or we can experience it as a temptation. So the temptation is to fear. The temptation is to then fall into sin. So when you think about each moment that you're wounded, now I want you to position it and see it from a godly perspective. Now you are receiving this moment in time, and some of them are disastrous moments and traumatic moments, but nevertheless, we're moving through it for a greater purpose. Here's what the purpose is. Key, peace on earth. When we each move through our own healing journey and our own healing process, we actually carry out something that's written in Revelation 12, verses 11. It says this, we overcome by the word of our testimony, and it also is that we do not choose to die, putting it in my own words now, we don't choose to die and give up our faith just because we face the trial. So the forgiveness journey and the forgiveness process eventually brings us to a place where we know our own little mission in the world for bringing about peace and the defeat of the dragon.
I know that you do a lot of work on this. You hold seminars and stuff, and you've obviously written a book on it. But before we talk about any of that, let me just ask, because obviously you are immersed in talking about this issue, which is so vitally needed, by the way, in the body of Christ and in the world that we live in right now. But
yes.
Where did your own journey on this issue begin? Because obviously we've all been wounded in the past. We've needed to extend forgiveness. And I don't know about you, Joan, but I've needed forgiveness a few times in my life.
Yes.
So describe your own experience with the issue of forgiveness.
Yeah. So, you know, I grew up in a home. I was born in Jamaica. I transitioned to Canada when I was 10 years old. I would say my first wounding occurred with the leaving of my mother. So leaving is a wound. Mm-hmm. It can be experienced as abandonment. It can be experienced as disconnection. That is also something that sometimes we accuse God of, abandoning us and disconnecting from us. But the truth is, we do both to him. And so that was my first wounding. The next wound I had to deal with was just before we came to Canada, my brother was struck by a car. And it was one of these kind of like out of nowhere kind of accidents. It's kind of like the car came around the corner and hit him. And that was a major traumatizing moment. And that would become one of those blocks for me where every time I was about to do something new, a car symbolically will come around front the corner and it would kind of throw me off track. And I began to notice these patterns. Well, I didn't notice them back then. After I began my forgiveness journey, I noticed them. And then after that, we come to Canada, and my mom is a stressed out, overworked mom, and it gets abusive in our household. And so I have to deal with this one particular night where my mom is very abusive. That night would follow me for a really long time. I would actually go ahead and complete my PhD before I would actually look back on this in the way that I now ask my clients to look back on it. So what I say to all of my clients is, I've been on my own journey. I've seen these powerful things that have come out of that, including visions and dreams, including a mission mindset, including this whole idea of creating peace. I have an organization that is now called the Village of Peace, and it's all about healing the wounds that have been created, for example, by slavery. So I'm walking through this, you know, process in my life where I'm angry, and it doesn't show up all the time. I'm depressed, but again, it doesn't show up all the time. Here's when it shows up, when I actually slow down and rest. So it comes to about Christmas of 2015, I'm teaching at a university, mm-hmm. and I'm in that place of rest, you know, because you don't have them with papers to mark anymore. And here comes despair. Mm. Here comes loneliness. Here comes isolation. I'm married. I have two children. But this thing, it comes back every once in a while. And I'm also knowing that God is calling me into ministry, but I'm also asking the question, Lord, what is this thing you want me to do? And I've been praying this prayer for a long time. The prayer was very simple. Close the right doors, open the right doors. And so at this moment, I'm feeling all of this, and I'm praying, and so God opens the door. I searched for a counseling process because I was just finished with the journey. I was like, I'm intolerable of this despair and this loneliness and this anger that I'm experiencing. And I wanted a way to move out of it, but I wasn't interested in traditional therapy. I didn't just want to talk. I wanted to heal. I had that in mind as I searched on Google, and I found a lady who did this kind of therapy. And after that, I would heal in 3 sessions. I would experience this monumental shift, and God would begin speaking to me in a way that was so profound, that was so beautiful, things would begin to tick, 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 and just fall into line. And that was the beginning of my journey.
Well, we know there's an enemy who doesn't want us to experience God's forgiveness or his love or any of that. And I'm wondering along the way, because, I mean, you lay that out so beautifully. But somebody might say, well, look, I've been seeking forgiveness, you know, in my life and trying to get past wounds for years, and it just didn't all fall into place for me. So yeah. I would suspect that there was some difficulty along the way, because at some point you have to really choose, for instance, to trust God and not yourself. You have to choose to identify what actually did, you know, wound you in the past. And so what you're describing really, I think, is more of a journey than just a set of steps.
And we are all moving through that journey. If some of us are just not conscious of it. In fact, most of us are not conscious of it. And we think it's all emotional, but this is not about emotions. This is about faith. Because I had my faith. I went to church every Sunday. I was heavily involved in preparing services and participating in all of these wonderful ways. It didn't mean that I didn't desire to forgive. It didn't mean that there weren't times where I was like, okay, I let it go. When I had my children, or even before I had my children, I moved through an emotional journey. But now what God was showing me and has shown me through this process is that as we forgive, what we're doing is we're building our faith. And we're opening the door for God to help us in all of these ways. So a lot of times we think that we can do this in our own strength. Mm-hmm. And the truth of the matter is we have to begin asking God to do it for us. And so as we ask him, there he provides. I like to say something to every client that I have. Every thought you have is a prayer, right? So whether it's a negative thought or it's a positive thought, it becomes a prayer. And as soon as it goes out there, it becomes like you start this domino effect so that that prayer will be answered. So if you're angry and you're in a place of hate and you're in a place of like wanting to see other people suffer, right? It goes out, you'll see other people suffer, and then you will suffer as well. So it's this process that, you know, God moves us through. And I like to imagine it as a step. And so I'm going to go up the first step. Yes, I'm going to believe. But I also have to transform, right? And that's what the Bible says. We have to transform in our faith. And so a lot of churches focus on just basically coming in, you know, belief. So you can believe, but you don't forgive. You can believe, but you never increase in your faith. So this process, what it helps you to do is to actually increase in your faith in a step-by-step process that comes with every single forgiveness that you do.
Well, But you identified this already. You just said it, that there needs to be a willingness for this to occur.
Yes.
Because you were a believer and you weren't yet walking in full forgiveness towards other people.
Yes, because I didn't know how. And that's the secret. So if I could take a moment and just describe what the initial part of the forgiveness process looked like.
Yeah. You know what? I want to do that, and we're going to need to take a break in a second. So let's do it right after the break. But before we even get there, describe briefly how you came to faith in Christ in the first place, because I also heard you say a moment ago, you can't do this alone, that God needs to be involved in this process. But before coming to faith in Christ, we don't have a relationship with him. How old were you? How did it happen that you came to faith in Christ?
I was 10 years old. The pastor had a message. He asked the question, who believes and who wants to give their life to Christ? And I walked up at the end of the service and gave my heart to Jesus.
Oh, sweet. Now, was that in Jamaica or Canada?
It was in Canada.
Okay. So you had just come to Canada, really?
Yes, just arrived.
What a great welcome. Welcome to Canada. And by the way, here, meet Jesus.
Well, I had gone to church all of my life, but I think, you know, as you transition, you know, into all of these new spaces, you know, obviously God had a plan for me even from the time I was very young. So, yeah, I made that commitment at a very young age. And, you know, as you know, when you're that young, your belief and your faith is immature. So as we all continue on the journey, you know, we just go to that place where we desire more, we seek more,
right.
And where we seek, we find.
This is fascinating. All right, listen, we're going to take a break. Dr. Joan Samuels Dennis is an expert in the area of forgiveness and has become so as a result of the work that God has done in her life. She's now written a book called 490, Forgive and Live Fearlessly. It released in February of 2019, so it's been out a little bit over a year, but you can get it at Amazon and Barnes & Noble and those kind of places. And you mentioned to me earlier, you've got a website, drjoan.ca, but is that just Dr. Joan or is it spelled out Dr. Joan?
It's drjoan.ca.
Okay, drjoan.ca. Not to be confused with Dr. Phil. She's an entirely different person. drjoan.ca. And by the way, lives right in the Toronto area, Brampton, to be specific. So right here in our WDCX listening area. All right, we'll be back and continue our conversation. 490, Forgive and Live Fearlessly. Dr. Joan Samuels Dennis, our guest here on this Spotlight Conversation on NBL, and we'll be back right after this. Good to have Dr. Joan Samuels Dennis with us on this Worship Wednesday. We're putting the spotlight on what Jesus has done, not only in her life, but what he desires to do in all of ours, and that is to help us to walk in forgiveness. And some powerful points already identified here. Number one, that we can't do this on our own. You really can't learn to forgive until you've been forgiven in the first place, and we come to the realization that we've been forgiven by Almighty God himself. He begins to pour his love and forgiveness into our hearts as he did into Dr. Joan Samuels Dennis's heart. And the process begins of understanding that we can live in a sense of forgiveness towards other people because of the fact that we've been forgiven. Jesus even said that, you know, to forgive others as we have been forgiven. So that's powerful. Now, you had mentioned some steps to begin the process, and I wanted to give you a chance to go back to that because you started down that road, and then I interrupted you. So my bad. take us back there.
Yes. You know, especially since it's World Forgiveness Day and with all that is going on in the world with, you know, the Black Lives Matter movement, we're in the midst of COVID. So many families are experiencing a period where they're being asked to rise to a whole different level, shift. And this is what this forgiveness process will do for you. It will help all of us to shift into that place where we can seek our God and know our God in the way that it's actually intended. So when we do a forgiveness, we write a journal. And I say write a journal at first and then speak the forgiveness out loud. And so I want to give you some of those steps.
Okay.
You imagine the circumstance. You know, if I could, perhaps I would use the circumstance of the Black experience, because I think those of your listeners who might be of the what we'll call the African diaspora or Black people, that they're all in a heightened state, and I think the whole world is in a heightened state right now of looking at the experiences that we've had over the last 400 years. And so every Black person is going to have to forgive slavery, and every Black person is going to have to forgive what has been happening all over the world for the duration of the last 400 years. It's just part of the process. But one of the things that the first question that we ask in the forgiveness journey is this: what did I want? What did I want? Mm-hmm. And even as you look historically, not just with your own experience, but with the Black experience or the white experience or the humanitarian experience, you're eventually going to have to go back and forgive Adam and Eve. Each time you forgive, you're learning a lesson, right? So the question is, what did I want? Now, we as Black people, we might say things like, we want support, we want freedom, we want to be left alone, we want a system that's actually fair, we want a system that is actually going to be just and peaceful. And the next question is, what did you get instead? And so the first question is really a question of, what does love look like for me? What do I want? Mm-hmm. In every interaction that I have with another person, what do I want? And when we experience something that doesn't look like love, we're going to notice it right away, because if it's not love, it makes us afraid. So the next question that we ask is, what do you get instead? And of course, the instead that you get is fear. But especially for Black people, they might say something like, we get false judgment, we get control, We get violation of our progress. We get violation of our human rights. We are held back. There's segregation. There's separation. There's disrespect. There's violence. There's this whole war that is against us. And now what we want is peace, right? So after we look at what fear looks like, and it's all of those things, division and disconnection, then the next question is, how do I feel? How do I feel about that? And that is where you begin to analyze from like a deep, wounded part of yourself what the experience actually triggers in you. So fear is always present, but fear can be broken into different things. It can be broken into intolerance. It can be broken into pride, immodesty. So for example, if people are raped, oftentimes they find ways to repeat the rape on themselves. They'll actually go out and actually repeat these patterns that they don't even know they're repeating. So we will experience things like anger, guilt and regret, feeling unworthy. We'll actually feel hungry for love, and that can show up in a lot of different ways. We'll be discontented and dissatisfied. We'll feel despair. Many of us become faithless. So the despair causes us to go into isolation. It actually causes us to grieve. Like if everyone is not grieving humanity right now, there's something wrong. If everyone can't look at the past and see what has been done to Black people and say there's something wrong, there's something wrong, right? And so as we move through the journey and the experience and now actually isolate those feelings, the next thing is to wonder at a question. The question is this: why did that person act the way that they did? And so, you know, we're going to have these small stories. So for family members, I want you to always remember there's a pattern everyone is repeating. We get stuck in the moment that wound us. And because we keep looking at that moment, it's like we're looking in a mirror and we actually reflect that moment in our lives. So we repeat the pattern until we forgive it and love, right? So as we look at each person that we forgive, or we look at each group that we forgive, or if we look at all humanity, or if we look at Adam and Eve, the response is going to be slightly different. But at the end of the day, we also have to then say, okay, at a spiritual level, we don't have wisdom. We are quite foolish. We are disobedient. You know, we're rebellious. And so because we're rebellious, we're not standing in a place of love. And if we're not standing in a place of love, we're going to violate every law that God has. And so as we move through the journey and we come to that place of understanding, compassionate understanding, stepping into the other person's shoe. If you could step into Eve's shoe, like let's go all the way back. Why did she violate the laws that God had given her and Adam? Why? You know, and so you have to step into her head and you have to look at the lies and the manipulation and the ways in which the serpent came around, twisted himself around her. The serpent is symbolic of lies. So there are lies that we tell ourselves that defeat us. And so as we move through the forgiveness process, what we're seeing is the manipulation of the individual who harmed us, and the ways in which they've manipulated themselves, the ways they become triggered by us and then repeat that pattern. By the way, the pattern is repeated because there is Exodus 34:5-6 talks about the repetition of sins, and the ways that the sins repeat themselves is through our wounding. Once we move through this journey and we answer those questions, we speak our forgiveness out loud. And as we speak it out loud, there are these statements that we say and these affirmations that we say.
You know, there's so much you've said there, and may need to get you back at some time to really delve in deeper. But let me highlight something that sticks out in my mind, because you picked an interesting topic, the whole issue of like racism and racial inequality and slavery and a lot of the harm that's been perpetrated on Black individuals. But one thing you sometimes hear, not from everyone in the Black community, but sometimes hear, you know, we need reparations paid. We want money for the fact that, you know, slavery happened in the U.S. history. And the only reason I bring it up is because, number one, you don't hear it from everyone in the Black community. But secondly, if I was to say in any other circumstance, for instance, if I was wounded or offended by someone who did something to me. And I said, I'll forgive you if you pay me money or you do something different. That doesn't sound like biblical forgiveness to me, including the fact, because think about, for instance, a woman whose husband ran off and married someone else. He may never ask for her forgiveness. He may never pay child support. He may never come around to a place where he acknowledges his own sin, and yet she can forgive him. So there's no connection between what's offered as payment or the forgiveness that we can extend, as I see it, but I'm not the expert. So let me throw it back to you real quick, and we don't have a lot of time here, but is the other party, is the offending party promising to do something in return necessary for us to forgive?
No, and I think that's the problem, that many people are confusing forgiveness with reconciliation, right? So we're talking about an entire group of people who had their human rights violated. And what we're also talking about is that those human rights in a lot of countries continue to be violated. And if it's not at a human rights level, it's at an oppressive, discriminating, prejudicial kind of level. So it's funny that you brought that up, because we have a petition going right now. It's on change.org/thevillage. And what we're asking for is reparations. But here's what it looks like. We're asking for a formal apology and the institution of a truth, forgiveness, and reconciliation process. So when we forgive, what we're saying is we release, we let go. But in the same way Christ forgave each of us, there's a process that we must now go through in order to reconcile with him. So forgiveness is freely given. Does everybody on the planet return to God? No, they don't. It's a choice. But as we make the choice to reconcile with God, what we have to be able to say is, Father, forgive me. I never want to do that again, right? And what we see in the actions of, well, all that's going on right now, what we see repeatedly is that it's done again and again and again, which means though we can forgive, there is no apology that comes. There seems to be no recognition that something has gone really wrong. Because when we recognize that something has gone really wrong, we forgive it. And when we forgive it, it does not mean it's okay to repeat it on us. And it doesn't mean that. So what I'm saying is the white nation, in fact, every other nation besides the black nation needs to see that there's a problem. And as you forgive it and ask the question, what do I want? What do I want from my ancestors who did this to black people? Well, wouldn't you want them to love, right? Isn't that, as Christians, what we want?
Sure.
And if you wish to also love us, then isn't there some way to actually say that was really wrong and we want to change it, right? Part of the challenge as we forgive is that
all right? So we actually lost you there for a second, but let me just jump in for a minute.
Yes.
We literally are almost out of time, so we'll have to pick it up again at some other point, and I would love to hear more about what you have to say. But let me just conclude by throwing this out and see where you go with it. You know, God extended his love toward us while we were sinners, and Romans 5:10 says enemies of God. So Jesus offered forgiveness and died to make forgiveness possible while he knew that we were his enemy and uncooperative with him. 1 Corinthians 13, you know, love is patient, love is kind. It says it keeps no record of wrongs. So how is it possible? Let's go back to the woman whose husband runs off on her. He may never respond in a way that she would like to see. He may never ask for forgiveness or come home and begin to live with his family again and do what he's supposed to do as a husband or a father. So is it impossible for her to extend forgiveness? I think it is possible for her to do it based on the fact that that's what God did for us.
Yes, it's absolutely possible to extend that forgiveness, and she should. So the question then is going to be around reconciliation.
Gotcha.
Right? We forgive, and then the next step is reconciliation. But reconciliation requires an apology. Okay. It requires for the other individual to actually recognize that they have done something wrong and then come into agreement and then move into that place where then it's possible to say, let us return to being united in our relationship with one another. So that's really what reconciliation is about. And so to your question about reparations, the question is there an apology? Is there recognition that something has been done that went very wrong? Is the individual now willing to say, I never want to have that happen again? And how do they change the path ahead to ensure that?
Wow. All right. We have plenty to talk about next time you're with us, and I'd love to do that. The book that you've written is called 490 or 490, Forgive and Live Fearlessly. And you can get it at Amazon, Barnes & Noble. Anything else you want to say about that? I realize you've got a website, drjoan.ca. How do you want to tie a ribbon on this conversation?
I'd love to say, in terms of forgiveness, we are moving to a place where forgiveness will absolutely become that walk back to reuniting with Christ. It's ultimately the way that we are going to mature spiritually. And there's so much more that I could say about it. But I would say, you know, pick up a copy of the book. People usually have these really profound transformational processes as they read it. I'd love to also hear from your listeners how they feel about the book. So let them know they can go to my website, drjoan.ca, connect with me, and let me know what you think.
All right, so well done. Thank you, Dr. Joan Samuels-Dennis, for being with us on our Spotlight Conversation, where we put the spotlight on what Christ has been doing in your life and through your life. And thank you for your great work on this issue of forgiveness. It's so powerful. You're welcome back. Let's try to do that at some point in the future. And God bless you in your continued efforts.
God bless you.